Well, welcome everyone to the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends. It's Wednesday, it's September 19th, 2012. And I love that opening song, Jason. I know it kind of grows on many of our listeners, but I love what it conveys. We're glad you're here, the fact that God loves you, and we appreciate you spending your time on one of our four frequencies, because we hope, and certainly we pray each and every morning, that God will use these broadcasts to draw you closer to Him, to reveal truth through the hosts that speak on God's Word, that give the biblical narrative in a hopefully helpful way that you can apply it into your life. Maybe a scripture is read and the Holy Spirit, as only the Holy Spirit can do, will bring conviction or change or hope or insight. But we just hope and pray that as you tune in throughout the day, maybe even the worshipful music will just lighten the load that you're carrying, or put that worshipful spirit into your heart to help ignite something that you may say to somebody else that encourages them. So if you're not tuned in on a regular basis to Christian radio, please consider it a new habit to start, because you will profit through it. And then certainly be in God's Word each and every day. There's no substitute for being in God's Word, asking the Holy Spirit to enlighten your mind, to bring you into that relationship with God. He's written this love letter to each one of us to guide us. It's that manual, if you will. It's that workbook to help us be attentive to His plan, His purposes for our lives, and the ways that He wants to work in us each and every day, each and every hour. So be in God's Word, be listening to Christian radio, and certainly on Sunday, there's that verse. What is it, Jason, about the assembling? Don't forsake the assembling together with other believers.
Hebrews, let us not
forsake, let us not. It's a Hebrews passage about, Jason will quickly, it'll come to his mind, but just the importance of gathering with other like-minded believers, because we need to follow the Lord together. We don't want to be any mavericks or our own little island where we get it all together ourselves. We want to have that community with others.
Yeah, Hebrews 10:25. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another all the more as we see the day approaching.
Yeah, that's a great one. That's a great one. So welcome to the ministry of Great News Radio. This program is called Mark and Friends. Typically, each and every Wednesday, co-host Pastor Jason Schiffel. He's the senior pastor at the Community Evangelical Free Church in Mahomet, Illinois. And I have the privilege of having him come in and help talk through various happenings, various messages that maybe he's preached, different topics, whatever comes to mind. And I got a couple surprises for him today.
Whatever comes to mind, that's true.
Really, it's whatever comes to mind. I got to listen to the re-airing last night of the morning's program, and I was really blessed, not so much by what I had to say and share, but that Dr. Crosland, does he know God's Word? Does he passionately pursue the Lord Jesus Christ and loves to convey the importance of that biblical narrative and how he's merged the Gospels together? And before our program this morning, Jason, you and I probably for 10 straight minutes were just talking about the merged Gospels and how months back you were encouraging me to read it. I'm like, oh, I don't have time.
Yeah, it was.
Now I'm fired up about my edition and reading it at night and really seeing not only chronologically, but how all the Gospels kind of merge together and how they validate and give different perspectives or insights. And it just reinforces they're all saying the same thing from a different perspective. And it's a great resource. And those can be sought after. I guess it's through a donation at MergedGospels.com, MergedGospels.com.
Yeah, I think that the ministry looks for, I could be wrong, I haven't looked in a while, but it's like $11.15 or something like that. They want to cover publishing costs and the cost to mail it to you. The interesting thing is that when you get to the second page of that to validate your order, they give you the option to send a gift to somebody else, and that's covered in that cost. So really, when they give you that $11 or whatever it is, they're talking about the price of two books, because you get the option to send it to somebody. I always send one to a friend, somebody I think who just really needs to get this book in their hands. And I would venture to say they sell them, the list of price is $35. And I just want to just encourage everybody that as close as you can get to the $35 to pay for your books, that's where you should be. Only because if you listen to the programs, Gary put a ton of, I mean, he sequestered himself for 4 years. So he put a ton of time, put his whole heart into it, and he's revising this over and over and over again. And now he's taking this merged Gospels and even distilling it down to a heart level, as he said in the interview, so that he can make it even a better connection to people, so people can take it and actually apply the Gospels to their lives. So I would just say, you know, I mean, I just want to honor people to honor the work that Gary's done because it's huge. And I mean, when you get one in your hand, I mean, if you listen to the program and you go, wow, I really love what Gary Crossland had to say. And you can hear me and Mark kind of beating the drum for this. But I really want to tell you that when you get a copy in your hand, it becomes a different thing. I mean, you hear about it and you go, oh, that sounds pretty good. And you hear us kind of beating the drum and you go, oh, well, maybe it even sounds even better. But when you get one in your hand, you go, wow. Look at this resource, not only the harmonized part where all the Gospels are put together into one story, so you can read it as one continual running story, but then where the Gospels are merged later on, not harmonized, but merged, and you get to see the individual Gospels, and where there's an Old Testament reference, the Old Testament reference is given, where there's a Greek word but used differently, that Greek word is highlighted so that you can see that Matthew used this Greek word and Luke used this different Greek word, meaning that have with a subtle difference of meaning, but it is the same different word. And also something I was talking about Mark with this morning is that he also breaks it down into time frames. So each gospel story is broken down, I think it's like into 299 different stories. There's 299 parts to the four gospels that he has in this book. And then each part is broken down into a time frame, like say 30 AD, the fall in Capernaum. So when you're reading that gospel passage and you're studying it, at least for me, this is an insight into how my brain works. When I have that added information to know that it's fall, it's in Capernaum, then I start looking at the passage, reading the passage, and I go, wait a second, now what is the weather like in the fall in Capernaum? What kind of crops are coming up or what kind of crops are going away? What would the general area look like? Would it be turning brown? Would it be getting lush and green? Was there something festival-wise that was happening? Was there something economically that was happening in that time period? Because now you get to pinpoint some time periods. You can understand, and I'm going to tell you what, I'm not going to give anything away, but there are going to be times when you look at those time periods, you read that passage, and you go, oh, you mean the flowers were blooming then? And Jesus references flowers? You mean this was happening, and that's one of the reasons Jesus he's using the land as a big, huge illustration? I mean, we go, wow, look at the pastor use that great sermon illustration. You know, sometimes we'll get, you know, a ball of yarn, and as pastors, we can really wow you with a ball of yarn. And Jesus here, when you get the extra added information, you realize that Jesus used the whole land of Israel as he walked as one big, huge sermon illustration.
Yeah, many word pictures. And like with all the migration, the European birds and all the birds from South Africa and all parts of the world that navigate through there, when maybe on that Sermon on the Mount, look at the birds of the air, and, you know, many of the visuals were right there when he referenced him. You know, a lesson that I learned the other day, and I've thought about this a lot since, but when he talked about different translations, he's talking about Greek, but it was maybe spoken initially in Aramaic or in Hebrew, and so he gave the example of his wife's bilingual. Mm-hmm. She speaks English and Spanish. And so she tells him to go out and cut the grass. And yet two other friends hear her say that to him in Spanish. Mm-hmm. And so then they go to a English-speaking only class. And one of the two friends communicates to these people in the class, she told her husband to go out and cut the grass. Where the other one says, and she translates it to the people, she told her husband to go out and mow the lawn.
Right.
Well, they both mean the same thing. And I just thought, that's fascinating, because as the Holy Spirit enlightened these two different authors, whether it's an account from Matthew, an account from Mark, they're saying the same thing, but they may have used slightly different words or just how they conveyed it. And so in my mind, God's word is inerrant. You know, there are no errors, there are no contradictions, but there is room for different ways that they communicated it, still meaning the same thing.
Right.
And then with the default that I fall on, or that I trust in, the Holy Spirit will enlighten my mind and heart to know what God's intent was for me to cling to him, to know him better, and then to apply it to my life. So I never see any contradictions, especially if we entrust the interpretation and understanding through the Holy Spirit to help us. And as long as it doesn't contradict other scriptures, it may have slightly, not different meanings, but the wording might be a little different. And I think that really helped me understand it when he said, cut the grass or mow the lawn. It's the same thing, And the intent was that the lawn was going to be cut, you know, that the grass was going to be mowed. And I thought, ah, I really like that. If you missed yesterday or Monday's broadcast, they are archived at greatnewsradio.org. You'll see a couple different photographs that I've posted on Facebook, on my own Facebook page, Mark Burns, and then Great News Radio, if you want to search that. But I usually, when we have different authors, artists, musicians, various people that are interviewed on Mark and Friends, I try to always post a photograph. And you'll also see on the website the book cover. And this is a big book. It's like a legal size pad. It's about 360-something pages. And months back when Jason was showing me this, I thought, oh, this looks kind of daunting and overwhelming, and it's too kind of academic, I thought, at the time. Now I'm actually falling in love with it. I'm so glad I have a copy. And I think it would really benefit you. And I so appreciate Dr. Crossland, his heart for the Lord, his research time, his many trips to Israel, and he was just a great guy to interview and really inspired me and encouraged me. So, like Jason said, I know we're kind of beating the drum, but I think this could be a great resource. And for some of you that maybe your scripture reading, for whatever reason, has become mundane or boring or routine, I think this could really invigorate that time where you're going to really get a sense of the gospel narrative in a new way.
Yeah, and you really, I'm trying to find it, I grabbed your copy here, and I'm not sure exactly where it is. I taught on this a while back, it had to be last year at some point, but you'll find that flavor of perspective in there, especially in terms of Matthew and Luke. You really find it in terms of those two, because they use different Greek words. They use words that have the same meaning, but the subtleties are different. And you'll find that Luke's subtleties are always leaning towards his Greco-Roman heritage, his desire to have everything in order, his desire to have everything defined and very clear, his desire to present everything in an ordered governmental fashion, very Greco-Roman. Whereas you'll find Matthew's subtleties are always towards experiential, towards God as one, towards a very Jewish perspective of doing. So you really, as you uncover that, and it's something that the Merge Gospels helps you to do, because it gives you those passages together in columns right next to each other so you can see them, you go, wow, Matthew really leaned this way, and Luke really leaned this way, and they're telling, the Holy Spirit through them is telling them the same story, but then using their unique gifts, Luke being Greco-Roman in his heritage, a Gentile, using Luke's gifts that way to be able to speak to Gentiles while using Matthew's gift as being a Jew to speak to Jewish folks. So it's not that the Holy Spirit is, it's not that there's different stories happening here, it's that the Holy Spirit is using the gift and calling. What does the scripture say that we're to remain where we're called? And so Matthew remains as a Jew and speaks therefore to the Jews, and you know, Luke remains as a Gentile and speaks to the Gentiles. And this book really allows that to come out. I mean, I'm going to tell folks, I cannot beat the drum for this enough. And, you know, I would love to hear Dr. Crossland go, I don't know what happened in Central Illinois, but I just, you know, shipped out hundreds of books because this book is huge. And I know at the church there, I'm now even revisiting the idea of how do we do this as some sort of Bible study at the church. Because if you go through this, I went through it for 2 years. If you go through this, it will radically change the way you read the Gospels. It won't change the Gospel stories because those are God's Word cemented. Those do not change. But it'll change your understanding and your reading and the depth maybe at which you read the Gospel stories.
Yeah. I'm. You know what? I might even have to send a link to this program to Dr. Crossland and encourage him because, and you and I talked about this before we went on the air, we got to have him like maybe on a call-in once in a while or something. Let's see what Dr. Crossland has to say about that verse or something, and we'll call him up again. But he was a delight to have on Monday and Tuesday, and like I said, those programs are archived. greatnewsradio.org. And if you're really encouraged by them, you can easily right-click on that link, paste it into an email, send it to someone, and just tell them to turn on their speakers and then click on it, and it launches right in their browser. So if you've not stopped by greatnewsradio.org before and gone to our archive programs link before, many of our morning programs, the Mark and Friends edition for many years, have been archived. Actually, because we've changed servers, I right now only have access to all of 2012. I have some that go back to like 2004. Sujo John, I think, is the very first one we archived back in 2004, and he was one of the survivors from 9/11.
And yeah, I saw him at a church in Peoria. He came and spoke.
Yeah, it's got a powerful story. So I'm still working on archiving some of those past programs from years back, but at least everything from 2004
2012 is up to date at greatnewsradio.org. Well, you didn't know this. You don't get the News Gazette, but I'm excited about this. This was front page yesterday's News Gazette. And I think you're going to be encouraged by this because there's a team at the University of Illinois. They received $8 million, which really is not a whole lot when you're doing research and stuff. But they're going to study the origins of life, and they're going to tell us what happened billions of years ago that give us meaning and purpose and how life started and how it all existed. And I thought, oh, boy, I can't wait to see these findings, tongue-in-cheek, especially life billions of years ago.
Yeah, so there are some folks in sub-Saharan Africa right now who don't have clean water. 1 in 16 women will die during childbirth. So when you're at church on Sunday morning, start in your row and you count, you'll be number one. Go down, and when you get to the 16th person, just have them, I don't know, fall over dead. and that'll give you a picture of what that looks like. So they don't have food. They don't have water. 1 in 16 women will die. Medical care is kids are dying from things that kids should not die from. So can you do the math? I'm really horrible at math. But can you minus $7.99 from $8 million? Because I'll get them a gift Bible.
Yeah.
You know, I'll circle a couple passages for them in Genesis. There's some words in Isaiah, Ecclesiastes, da-da-da. And then we'll send the rest of that money over to Africa, and we can take care of some real problems.
I know. When I was reading this, here's how it begins. Do you ever look up into the sky and wonder, is there life beyond Earth? Or why does life exist at all? Researchers at the University of Illinois do. The big kind of questions that come and go in the middle of the night for many people also keep up physicians, chemists, geologists, and other researchers. Now armed with an $8 million grant from NASA's Astrobiological Institute, a UI team aims to understand the general principles of life here on Earth billions of years ago and life possibly elsewhere in the universe. Ah, I'm excited to hear these findings.
You know, I mean, with the state of the economy, like negative $14 trillion, I know that probably like a lot of government agencies are not tuned into this frequency or any of these four frequencies, but it's okay to give some of the money back.
Yes.
You have $8 million left over and you're not sure what to do with it. It's okay to give some of it back because they need it back. There's $14 trillion. It's okay to put some money back in the envelope to spend later on some things that really need. Have you ever looked up in the sky and then looked back down and realized that people are hurting right here?
Yeah.
Have you ever realized that you could reach out your hand and touch somebody's life who's hurting in a way that you might not even understand? And before we start to understand the beginnings of life, maybe we ought to try to understand how we can save a life right now. Because I don't know about you. I mean, I'm going to go off on a tangent here, and it's not a tangent that I go off on too often, but when I see those pictures of little kids laying on mats and I can count their ribs, I think that there's a great moral injustice that's being done in this world. And I see people who are spending money. You know, this is why I don't read the paper. This is why Mark said, well, you didn't get the News Gazette, because I don't get the News Gazette or any of those newspapers, because I'm tired of seeing overbloated governments purchasing more missiles, purchasing more ships, purchasing more tanks, purchasing more bombs, enlarging more armies, figuring out what other battles to fight, and we can't even save the life of that little kid, that I have to read an article and count the ribs on the side of a kid. And I'm going to tell you, when I see those pictures, I don't know what it is in me, but I can't stop not going 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And as I count it, I'm telling you what, there is something deep inside my heart that wells up and gets really angry. I'm going to just go out on a limb here. I think it's God who's going, that really makes me mad.
Mm-hmm.
That really makes me mad. And $8 million, I'm telling you what, I run the numbers every year. I look at some of those websites that do all that social economic data for third world countries. $8 million could help to really solve the food problem. $8 million would really curb a lot of the clean water problems that we have in Africa. $8 million wouldn't solve all the problems, but I'm going to tell you what, it would solve one of those problems. And the fact that I just read it the other day, the fact that there's a percentage of kids who die in Africa from the common cold. You and I get some sniffles, we go and we get some NyQuil, we get some DayQuil, I get some cough drops.
Can you give a testimony now?
I can give a testimony because I've been sick the past couple days. I can go down the street, walk in the store, I can get those medicine. The only difference between me getting that medicine and me not is, do I have $5 or $6? And not only that, but I have a choice of them. Could you imagine that your kids get sick and you don't have a choice? You don't even have the option. You've never seen a bottle of NyQuil. You've never seen the ability to go in and buy medicine. All you see is dirt and huts. You don't even see clean water. and your child is dying. I mean, really. I mean, I saw a testimony one time of a parent who said, I had to watch my child die. And when they said what, at the end of the testimony, the guy said why the child died. And it is totally curable. Like one doctor visit in the United States and it's cured. And some parent had to do that. And that breaks my heart. So $8 million, U of I hope you come up with some great findings. I can help you with that and we can send it to where it really needs to go.
Well, I was thinking part of my heart was praying for these different disciplines. They're going to draw from different fields and do this research. And I am hoping, because God is so vast and beyond their understanding, that they're going to really come back with, we don't have any answers. Or some of them maybe are going to be influenced by other Christians, or some to say, there is meaning in life, there is purpose, there's a God behind the universe. It is expansive, but wow, there is this origin of life. And as we study DNA, there's somebody behind it. There's got to be a designer. And somehow truth is going to be evident, and it's going to be revealed in such a way that they're going to say, there is a designer. We have concluded that there is something beyond us, behind this universe, that it couldn't have just happened, evolved, that maybe some of these billions of years really might not be billions of years. They might be thousands of years. And maybe the creation research, maybe we can get some tickets and send them to the Creation Museum.
Well, I mean, you really have to look at it. I mean, not only does, boy, and we could talk for hours on this, but not only do you have to have this magic thing happen that they're going to say has to happen. By the way, they can only break it down into about 297 things that had to have happened at one time to make this magic spark of life. And then when they tell you that, that already you go like, wow, 297 things had to happen. Then they don't tell you that 297 things had to continually happen. Not just one magic spark, but multiple magic sparks that continue to happen. And that only happens by the divine hand of God. Those things do not happen.
And there still happened to be somebody behind it that initiated that first spark. I mean, to me, it's more common sense than anything. You just look at it, evaluate the information, and say there's got to be something behind it all. I mean, yes, there might be a differing point of view on who that person is or how that person operates, but there's something behind it all.
We should continue this conversation on Friday.
Yeah, so we're going to have Jason in again on Friday. We had a Monday, Tuesday. These programs are archived at greatnewsradio.org, so stop by, have a
Monday,
listen.
Monday, Tuesday, now I'll be on, I'll come back Friday. Wow.
Yeah, I'm doubling your pay. Three times zero, tripling it, three times zero as well. Anyways, thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.